Welcome to episode 36 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pratap, and Aaron Catano-Saez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids, just like you. We continue to follow Kieran, Cece, and a magically catatonic June flying above the salt flats beyond Teshirt. Phileas Youngblood's privateers are closing in, and flames are rising on some of the gondolas, but Ruby, Bran, and Fenton are here to help. Both Kieran and Cece each have a little bit of magic of their own to fight back with, but at what cost? And what is happening to June? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride, singing way, hey, ho. But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride, singing way, hey, ho. I've never been much for the pistol or blade, singing way, hey, ho. For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade, singing way, hey, ho. My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time, singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey.
June, what are you doing?
June and this bird are vibing. Like, it's now at a point where it's like when you're having a dream, right? And you're like, I am aware that I'm dreaming. This is a really interesting dream, but you don't feel any like immediate urge to wake yourself up or like get out of the situation. You're just enjoying it. And then eventually enough time has gone by that you forget that you're dreaming and you're just in it. Like completely. So I think June is just in this bird's head. And as the bird gets closer and closer to this ship graveyard, in the back of June's mind, she knows that there was something she's supposed to do. But right now, all she's doing is chilling in this bird's head as the bird gets closer to this group of people that's out in the ship graveyard.
As you and the bird get closer to where there's obviously a group of people, and they see that there's still, they have like a lantern and they're moving it back and forth. They're like sending a code, which is the code that you saw.
Yes.
I want you to roll. I want you to roll a full pull. Mm-hmm. I want you to roll strong. And then I want you to roll one of your relationships.
Do I need a distinction too or no?
Yeah, you need a distinction as well. You need to have three dice.
So it'll be first Wing Whisper in a Generation, which is a D8. And then
Strong, which is a D8.
And then
I also want you to
a relationship.
I want you to roll Lion Bird Husbandry, which is a specialty. It's a D6.
Oh yes. Okay, I see it.
That thing you have?
That thing. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Roll those three together.
Okay. I got a 6, a 4, and a 3.
What are the two together that are highest?
10.
10. Okay. You're starting to lose yourself. That thing at the back of your brain that goes, there's something you were supposed to do, is slowly being taken over by the fact that you and this bird are melding together. Mm-hmm. This bird will soon no longer be this bird. It will be you and this bird together. Mm-hmm. And you will no longer be you. Mm-hmm. You will just be a new entity. And that is slowly coming to fruition. But with that 10, there is a nagging at the back of your brain, in your heart, someplace that goes, this is not right. And there's this moment where you hear your mother say, it's dangerous, Jim. I feel like this knocks you a little bit out of this stupor that you now can feel.
Yeah. It's suddenly like, so there's that echo of her mom, the feeling that those words initially made her feel in the moment, that indignation, that a little bit of like shame, I think, and like fear, but also like determination and passion and all of those things mixed together. There's like a little echo of that feeling that comes up in June at the memory of her mom saying, no, it's dangerous. And then that kind of wakes her up out of the haze. And now she is aware of herself, like co-piloting with this bird, instead of like being like really comfy and sleepy and kind of like just dazed and just cozy. She's now like sitting upright mentally and going, wait, hang on, wait a minute. What am I doing? What am I actually doing right now? She refocuses and sees the group of people in the ship graveyard. And she's like, oh, but we're really close. I could go a little bit longer.
Cece, what are you doing during this whole fight?
During this whole fight that's happening, I'm holding on to June because I think Cece sees the fire. How big is it on our gondola?
It's caught the front of the gondola.
Oh, goodness. I'm going to have to put it out, I guess. You know, like before it was like she saw the fighting and she saw that stuff, but there's a fire going on. I think she's a little overwhelmed and doesn't want to just put down June. If I can be honest and not like the hero thing, she freezes in fear.
Okay. If you want to, we can give you right now a D8 in afraid.
In afraid? Is that like a...
That's one of your stresses.
Oh. Yeah, we'll be honest. I mean, like, there's nothing to do. That's the thing. It's like, I can't abandon June. I can't put out that fire easily. I just blew up that thing. I made a big no-no. But I could just be like, you know what? She puts down June and blows on that fire. But part of me is like, I'm 14.
No, that's fine. So
yeah,
this is what
I'm
going to
take that D8 in afraid.
Okay, we're going to take that D8 in afraid, which means you're going to shut down Brave, which means you can't use Brave anymore.
Dang, my stats.
As you now feel the fear kind of cover you, and there's also, you find that you're shaking a little bit, not just from the fear, but from doing that magical spell.
Mm.
Like it took something from you to do that. And so not only that, but like you saw that boat leave.
Oh yeah.
What happened to those people?
I know.
And all of it is happening very, very quickly. This whole everything is around you. So you are now afraid and you're holding June and the boat is on fire. And like you saw briefly, you saw Ruby and Kieran jump into another gondola, and Bran is over there in another gondola, like fighting four other people. And like,
I'm just making things worse. Honestly, I might hurt Jasper.
Yeah, like what's, and Jasper's basically going, what's going on, as Faith is squawking around going, there's fire, people. Like, it's a cacophony.
Yeah.
Around you. And you're sitting there, surrounded by it. And you feel a hand on your shoulder. And you look and nobody's there, but it's a presence.
Who is it? She says. What? Like, she reaches out with her, you know, she feels that and snaps her head around, but nobody's there.
And nobody's there. And you feel this presence and you feel this sudden need to light your candle.
Cece very gently puts down June and like almost in a trance, like the world is going so fast. There's so much happening. But she sees this like tunnel vision as everything's a blur all around her. She can almost see everything happening in like this fluid, mushy. It looks like an oil painting all around her. And she just very slowly pops the little holster, pulls out the candle and walks toward the front of the ship and lights it on the fire.
And as you light the candle, that eerie glow around kind of surrounds you and June at the front of this boat. And it all fades away in this second. And the fear is still there, but the noise is kind of gone and it's very quiet. And it's just this kind of like purplish glow around you in this bubble. And you almost can look out and see that like the world is happening, but it looks like it's moving slower, quieter. And as you're sitting there, you look up and there in the fire is the face of your grandma. Cece.
Hello. Hi.
Are you all right, my dear?
No. I'm terrible.
Why?
I don't know. I keep making all these mistakes. Everybody gets mad at me, and I hurt people. And all my friends are doing all this stuff, and all I ever do is screw things up. I'm not doing good.
I know. And it's okay. You, Cece, Cecilia Illuminata Whitwick, you have such a heart on you, as big as the sky. You will hurt people. That is just life. And I know you're afraid right now. That is okay. Fear is what keeps you alive, Cece. It warns you of danger. It is not good or bad, it just is. You need to be you. And you need to help your friends.
Okay.
But if you don't want to help them, if you're too afraid, that's okay. And I can help. And she smiles. She smiles at you, Cece. And goes, of course. Pull a lumen.
The echo. Which is a card I have. Which is interesting.
That's really interesting.
That's really good. Oh, yeah. Echo is one of the...
It's one of your core cards.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, this game. Here's the other thing. I realized I gave you a D8 in Afraid. I'm going to give you a D12 because I think that's more thematically solid.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because it shut you down completely.
Completely, yeah.
All right. The echo. Deja vu. Illusions. Repetition. Here is what happens. As you are sitting there, you see the visage of your grandmother in the flames, in these purple flames that are kind of all around you right now. And she smiles, and you breathe in, and you breathe her in. And deja vu and repetition, your grandma is going to take over.
Great.
Will up your stats and stuff like that for whatever you want to do. I mean, you can basically just take a D10 in everything.
Okay.
In all of your attributes and stuff. And we see, as you breathe in, your hair. What color is it now?
It has streaks of silver in it.
Beautiful. The candle goes out. I'm going to also raise your magic to a D10 stress as well. Because your identity is gone.
Yeah, non-existent.
Because you're non-existent now. You are taking a back seat while your grandmother takes over. We see streaks of silver shoot through your hair as you stand up. Your eyes are a different color now. We'll say that they're purple. Mm-hmm. And even though it is your face, Cecilia, there's lines to it. There's an age to it. You turn now. What was your grandmother's name?
Illuminata.
Illuminata. You turn Illuminata and see the chaos around you. What do you do?
She lets out a huge cackle. And she puts a hand on Jasper and says, give me the command.
To which Jasper's like, oh, sure. Jasper... Jasper is so frazzled at like the noise and everything like that, he just hands it over to you. You now have the controls.
Can I say something kind of grand that happens, if that's
absolutely
possible?
This, I mean, you willfully took yourself out of the story.
Okay.
I think that you've earned this, yes.
So Illuminata grabs all of them, like the ones he was holding with his toes, the ones he was holding with his hands, and she grabs them all in one bunch and holds them in one, like, tightly bound fist. And the other hand, she flings to the sky and says, raise the mainsail! And immediately, over the gondola, it's suddenly surrounded. This giant purple pirate ship of light is now surrounding the gondola as I'm at the helm of an enormous pirate ship soaring through the sky.
That's beautiful.
Cool.
Excellent. We're going to come back to, we're going to come back to you, Kieran. You and Ruby have like just landed on the deck with Fenton, who's maneuvering this thing. That one's gone. That one's now gone. Fenton like looks over the side and is like, Bran needs help. And you guys look over and Bran is, he jumped onto a boat with like 8 other people. Like he's brave, but he's not that great. There's like 4 or 5 of them that are like basically trying to rest his blade and like keep him down. What do you guys do?
I just had an impulse thought.
Go for it.
I think Kieran sees this and turns to Fenton and almost, I mean, just barks an order. Ramming speed.
I need you to roll. I need you to roll for that.
Heck yeah.
I want you to roll brave.
Just brave?
Actually, yeah. I think I want you just to roll brave. It's just a d6.
Kieran is operating purely on adrenaline right now. Correct. I rolled a 1.
So this is what's going to happen. Fenton obeys. There's a command to your voice that Fenton just, oh, okay. Aisa, and she turns the boat in such a way that they're going to like, they're going to sideswipe it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that the other boat does the exact same.
Ooh,
that's okay. The one, is that the boat does the same for you as well. And the two boats collide. And they collide so violently that they break apart.
Ooh.
In midair. The fire explodes out from their furnaces as the two ships collide with each other, and all of you are thrown into the air. The privateers, Fenton, Ruby, Bran, you are now in midair amidst flame and fire, and you begin to fall. Kieran,
mm-hmm. There
have been a lot of times tonight that you've been in free fall. And this is the latest in them. You are falling. The world around you is made of bits of wood and bits of things on fire. It feels like it's going in slow motion. You see Fenton twisting in midair. You see Bran like moving through the air to get to Fenton. And you see Ruby falling next to you with this like tranquil look on her face, her hair kind of splayed around her. As you guys are in free fall, you also see the Youngblood privateers that are falling. Here's my question. I have an idea. I have something, an idea to like save you, but I want to give you the opportunity to come up with something. What do you think happens?
I think Kieran reaches out and grabs hold of Ruby's hand on their right, grabs hold of Bran's hand on their left, and sort of wordlessly, the rest of the kids kind of follow suit. Bran grabs Fenton's hand. Fenton grabs Ruby's other hand. And Kieran closes their eyes, takes in like a really, really deep breath, despite just the velocity that's happening right now. And almost like wings, not quite, we see those threads kind of connecting between all of the kids. And they erupt from behind Kieran and sort of create this canopy that dissipates almost as soon as their feet touch anything.
Okay. So we see you reach out in that kind of Miyazaki, Chihiro and Kohaku kind of like falling but like holding each other type thing. You reach out and grab Ruby, who's completely unconscious, kind of like bring her close to you, and you reach out and like grab Bran's hand, who's got Fenton's hand. You all are kind of falling, kind of looking at each other, and you catch this thing in Bran's eyes that looks like resignation. that like, this is it. This is it. This is how we go out. And that moment kind of sticks with you. And I almost feel like inside, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Kieran, but that there's a Jiltaran defiance that this is the end.
Oh yeah. Like Kieran registers that feeling in Bran's body language and immediately rejects it.
And I think that that is the catalyst that creates this bond. And what happens is we see the lines between you grow denser. It's almost like, have you ever seen spider webs blow in the wind?
Oh, yeah.
It's like hundreds of those begin to fly off you guys. And you can feel like it's slowing your descent because the things around you fall faster
mm-hmm.
and are gone into the darkness. Because you guys are so far away from the city at this point that it's just dark. You just see sky, the moon, and there's a dark something beneath you. But you can feel yourself maybe going slower. You look over to your side, Kieran, and you see Bran has this resignation on his face, but Fenton is screaming, just screaming bloody murder, eyes closed on the other side, tightly holding on to Bran. Suddenly, there's a purple glow beneath you. Illuminata, what do you do?
Illuminata spins the wheel. What is it called on a big, like a big
helm?
The helm?
The helm. She spins the helm.
You were the wrong three people to ask that question.
I know.
actually,
it's like every time
Aaron,
I ask you guys
helm.
About swords. It's the catamaran.
Aaron, that would be a short sword, actually.
So.
It's called the Ricasso.
Technically auto. A scimitar, so.
It's
a little bad, so it's a scimitar, so.
The Ricasso is above the Quillians, actually, so. Sorry,
keep going. I ask. Illuminata spins the helm and gives out another long cackle because it's been a while. In fact, she says, it's been a while, and laughs and says, foolish children and your games, and comes over and tries to scoop up, comes down to squeaking under and like everybody land, like to make them, I don't know what the term you'd use, catch the children as they fall.
The beautiful thing is that this spectral purple pirate ship does not need a canopy. It doesn't follow the laws of physics at this point. Mm-mm. It swoops through the sky like a bird. We see Illuminata turning the wheel and willing the ship to dive and then pick up these falling children out of the sky as they light themselves on the deck. And the deck, I mean, the gondola, the little gondola that was originally this, is still in there someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But it is this spectral purple pirate ship that's all around it. The other thing we see is we see Illuminata spin the wheel and kind of roll the boat and catch more of the privateers as well. Illuminata made sure to catch her friends lightly. She doesn't catch these people lightly.
No.
And they hit hard and like pass out basically.
With every single person that falls on the boat, she lets out like a witty, like little quip every single time with like this big guffaw-y laugh. Like every a privateer hits the boat like with a she's like, you can't forget even the jerks, Cece. You gotta remember the toots too. Like silly, foolish things are just guffawing, cackling. She is having the greatest day of her life. Afterlife, candle life.
Candle life. I
candle
love that.
Candle life.
I love that. So we see her catching these people moving around, like swooping through the sky. We see Kieran, Ruby, Fenton, and Bran, as you are like hanging on for dear life on the deck. You're holding on to like spectral ropes and things as you swoop and dive through the sky until you finally catch the last person and you reach this apex. We see the spectral ship over the moon, like as it silhouettes itself on the moon, and then dive to the desert. and it goes down, 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 and then right before it crashes, it pulls, landing itself onto the sand, and it slowly dissolves around everyone as the boat, just the gondola, skips across the sand with all of you in it.
The boat kind of dissipates, like it almost, it looks like when a fire is dying out and you see like small flickers burning away and the embers or the bottom of the boat is like embers. And she looks at all the children on the boat, and as like the stairs are fading away, she's walking down them and they're fading with her. She looks at Kieran and says, "Take good care of her, will you?"
And Kieran, as you look up at this, at Cece, got silver streaks in her hair. She's got more lines. She looks older, but there is a hint of someone that you've seen before.
Ooh, there's that moment of recognition in Kieran's face, I think.
And with that, the boat skids to a halt, and Illuminata, you let go and become Cece again. What does that look like?
It kind of looks like if you were to be able to see Illuminata leaving Cece, it kind of looks like a shadow exiting a person, like almost like a little bit of this second person. You'd swear there's two people there at once, and then one kind of just becomes a shadow on the floor from the moonlight.
And Illuminata, you are gone. And Cece is left. Hello, couriers, and welcome to the Midroll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. The squad of Couriers Call would like to say how thankful we are to each and every one of you. Whether you were able to back the Season 2 Kickstarter or not, whether you are listening from the beginning or just joining us now, we are so grateful that you're here. Thank you. For now, we'd like to send a special shout-out to the following folks who helped us fund Season 2. Morgan Hedstrom, thank you. Paige the Bard, thank you. Isaac Mayer, thank you. Bees! Thank you. Ben Fish, thank you so much. Eve Challenger and Holly Tompkins, thank you so much. Tej, thanks. Alan, thank you. Slams Neck Tendons, thank you? But honestly, thank you. House Awesome, thank you. Dave and Maeve, thank you. The Spy Brothers, Owen and Emmett Keane, thank you so much. Michaela Evans, thank you so much. Finnegan Justice Murphy, thank you. Kelly O'Shea, thank you so much. Taylor Mears, thank you so much. And thank you to each and every one of you. We couldn't do it without you. And now, with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
And Illuminata, you are gone. And Cece is left.
Whoa! Okay. Where am I? Okay. Where? Hey, Kieran. Hey.
Hi. We're on the ground, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Drew, real quick.
Sure.
I did some magic. I did a lot of magic.
You did several magics.
Yeah. I did several magics. Just want to make sure not to make things harder for myself. How much magic stress should I have taken from that, if any?
I'm going to say you should be at a D8.
Bad news. I was already at a D8.
Okay, so let's bring you up to a D10.
Okay. Cool, great. We're having a great time.
And this isn't this D8 stress and magic. Basically, you're just spent. You are so tired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think this is Kieran kind of like slumping against the side of the gondola or the ground and kind of looking up at Cece. I think I'm going to stay here for like a second and just enjoy the fact that it's ground. And they like lie down on their back and look up at the sky for just the briefest of moments.
Yeah. Cece feels like just this groggy, like she just woke up from a nap, like feels great, but is like, it almost feels like everything with the gondolas from the fire magic on was a dream. Like she saw certain things and she didn't at the same time. Like she saw there was a ship. She had a dream about her grandmother on a pirate ship sailing through the ocean. The ocean was blue and safe and beautiful. And when she woke up, she was here.
And the two of you look around and you see that there's just people like littered in the sand. There's privateers that look completely, completely out. You see Ruby is close to you guys, like outside the boat, outside of the gondola, completely unconscious as well. There's Bran like slowly getting himself up and Fenton as well. And Jasper is also there. You see Jasper like reach up and take the blindfold off and look around. And he goes, oh good, at least we're on the ground now. What the heck happened? What happened? Are you the kids?
Hello.
Yeah, that's us.
Oh, gosh, kids. What were we chased? What happened? I'm sorry. I keep the blindfold on. I'm scared of heights. I can't do it. But I'm a very good gondolier. So it's cast 22. But what happened to my boat?
Cece comes over to Jasper and like hunkers down to a little squat. And has her, like, finger crooked and tucked into the space between her bottom lip and her chin. And she says, what you did today changed the course of history. And you saved us all, Jasper. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I will do what I must do to replace your gondola and mend what has been broken. And she gets up and walks away toward June.
Cece, we're leaving tomorrow, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And... you know, sometimes you got to give motivational speeches when times are tough. And, you know, you got to lift those spirits because it's about inspiring power in people all the time.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll make it right one way or another.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we'll be back here.
Yeah, we're going to come back to Teshirt one day. And when Jasper's working, we're going to be like, here's a new boat one day. If we like win it on a game show or something, we can just give it to Jasper.
And you guys are getting out of the boat and like heading up like a dune, basically. And again, there are these giant old wrecks of like skyships. Like as you guys are climbing up this dune, there's an entire prow of a boat just sticking out of the dune where you guys are heading up to get to the top where you saw the light. It's very close to where you guys are. So you guys are like heading up this dune away from Jasper, who's now like looking at his boat, and he's like, he's talking to Bran. Like Bran is like animatedly like talking to him in Fenton.
As you two start to walk away from the gondola, the gold glimmer in June's eyes is fading. Like it's getting dark.
You guys are heading up the dune, and as you get to the top of the dune, there's about seven people on top of the dune. Some have rifles, some have pistols, but there's a man standing in the middle of them at the top of the dune. He's not terribly tall, but he's very like wiry and strong. And he's got a very red beard, and he's got like an Irish tam, kind of like a hat, like it's like a slouch cap basically on. And he looks over the dune at you with these other people kind of flanking him. Next to him is also a giant woman. She's got to be like 6'5", 6'7", broad muscled in the moonlight. She's got like no sleeves on, and you can just see like these Celtic knot tattoos all over her arms. And she's got this green kind of face paint on, and her hair is kind of pulled back into these many, many different braids. And the man leans over the dune at the two of you and goes, well, what we have here? Who are you? Speak up now, speak up.
We're just kids. We're just two kids, and we're just trying to help our friend. Our friend isn't doing great.
And what would two children, a gondola, and a bunch of young blood privateers be doing out here in the dunes, eh?
I mean, we were kind of chased out here by those privateers.
Yeah.
Very well, then. So, what do you think, Boudica? And this very large woman kind of leans over and goes, I think they're spies.
No. No, we're not. And first of all, who are you?
How do we know you're not spies?
To which the man gives a slight bow and goes, Brian Boru, caught in the glass, at your service.
Cecilia Whitwick, captain of Amethyst, at your service. I don't know, I've always wanted to name my ship that. Chill, everybody chill.
So all of them laugh, and Brian bows a bit lower and goes, well, to you then, Captain Cecilia Whitwick, a pleasure to see you, and a pleasure to meet you. Now, we have business to attend to, so if you don't mind, we'll be taking you in custody now, and we'll be trusting you up and keeping you over here. We'll probably leave you out here, and hopefully your friends to come and get you later. And he kind of...
Okay, so a couple of things. One, we also have business. Just because we're kids, it doesn't mean that we didn't come out here with a purpose. And I think it's actually pretty rude of you to interrupt said business, especially because this is the mayor of Kidtown, and she needs to get some stuff done.
The crewmen around him go, oh, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, you might have to show it done, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, important business. That's right.
All right, then. All right. Very well, then. Why don't you tell me, what is your business, then?
It's not your business. It's our business.
It might be our business. What are you doing out here?
You know what? I have had just my fill today of adults like you picking on kids like me and my friend Kieran here. Our friend is sick. Our friend is not doing well. And we've been doing everything we can to make her better. And everybody just keeps getting in her way. And I'm starting to get really jazzed up about it, you know?
And at that point, in comes the bird.
So this bird swoops in, like, between the crew of the glass and the couriers, does a little figure eight around the two bunches of people, and then, like, lands in between the two parties, staring towards Brian Boru. You can see as it flies by, there's a tiny sparkle of that gold in its eyes as it flies past you guys.
As the bird lands in between, and it looks up at the crew of the glass, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Looks up at the crew of the glass with that gold in their eyes. I'm going to roll for this real quick. Oh, gosh. Yeah, absolutely. That was a one. The crew, like, oh, they kind of, like, pull back. And Brian goes, what are you all doing? And Boudica looks over and goes, that is a bird with gold eyes. That's an omen. That, and they're, all the other ones like, yeah, that's an omen. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's an omen. Yeah, that's an omen. Yeah, isn't it? We don't shoot those, Captain. No. To which Brian turned and goes, all right. It's an omen. It's a, what is the omen then? As Brian turns around.
It kind of fluffs its wings, and then it looks back at Kieran and Cece and does a kind of very June-ish, like, head jerk, like, well, where's the thing? Come on. Where's the thing that we brought? Like, hand it over.
What?
I think there's definitely a moment where Kieran and Cece just kind of look at each other.
Yeah, they're like, it's, hello, bird.
Is one of you holding the book? Cece has the book in her hands.
Yeah.
I guess we don't carry, like, bags, right?
Yeah, so you're probably holding it.
Yeah.
This is a moment where I would like June, you to try to get out of the bird.
Okay, yeah. Great.
So here's what I want you to do. Pull together your pole.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to gather my pole together as well, and we're going to roll to see if you can get out of the bird. I'm going to say it's hard. It's pretty darn hard.
Okay, I got an 8, a 7, and a 4.
Two highest.
15.
15. Tell me how you get out of this bird, June.
So, cinematically, it's very dramatic. The gold in the eyes of the bird flares and then swirls into nothing, like evaporates. At the same time that June's eyes do the same thing. The gold flares bright and then swirls and evaporates into nothing. Her eyes are dark for a minute, and then she blinks and they're her regular light gray again, back where she's laying down on the gondola. And the bird kind of stares at Cece and Kieran and then, like, shakes itself and just peels out of there, just vanishes, just kakao to the sky, gone.
To which the moment it leaves, all the crew goes, oh,
yeah. And I think June in the gondola sits up, you know, Frankenstein's monster style, looks around, cursory glance around, sees Jasper, sees Faith, has no idea who they are, climbs out of the gondola and starts walking towards where you are all gathered.
Oh, Bran's right there. Bran's like, June, as you like sit up and head on out.
Yeah, I'll be right back. And she marches. There's like this long pause where the crew of the glass is muttering about the omen and you two are staring at each other and watching where the bird has gone. And June comes marching up the other side of the hill, breathless and a little like windblown, and goes, I think we're supposed to give them the book.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings. Sing it way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Sing it way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Sing it way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Sing it way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. Be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need. And to ever be thankful for what you've received. Sing it way, hey, ho. Sing it way, hey, ho.
At the bottom of the Red Audren, there is what's called the mail room. And off to the side, there is the mail sorting room, where you, Kieran, June, and Cece, are currently sorting the mail.
Well, we got to make sure that we get these kind of squared away over here before we get to the next stop, right?
Yeah.
Kieran, that's what you were saying before?
Yeah, but we also have to make sure that those over there don't get sorted into the ones on the left-hand side. Otherwise, we're going to get really confused and we won't have a lot of time to sort through it.
We got
to
make sure that the mail is in here, whereas letters are over there.
Right.
Packages. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know if y'all were thinking this also, but I feel like maybe we should get some shelves.
Mm. Ooh. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. I feel like that might help us organize things.
Are we thinking like cardboard shelves or like mahogany shelves?
Ooh, a cherry wood.
Ooh, I like the cherry wood.
I've always loved a floating shelf, you know, where it kind of looks like your tchotchkes and your collectibles are kind of just suspended on the wall.
Oh, but we could make them big so they can fit all the packages that definitely have stuff like that in them.
Yeah,
Yeah.
That's good thinking. That's good. There's maximization of space.
Oh.
All about efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this one looks like it's for us.
Oh, snap. Love me some fan mail from the fans.
Who wants to read it?
I do.
Okay.
Because I love me some fan mail from the fans.
June passes the letter over to Cece.
Dear friends, do you ever feel the storm in the air? Like the taste of salt on the air or the smell of the sea? Do you ever wonder if she's calling you to adventure? Or luring you to the rocks. Ooh, fan fiction.
That's the letter?
I think so.
Yeah. Is it signed?
Do you ever... No.
Give me that. Jim takes the letter.
Kieran has a very far off look, suddenly.
That's cryptic.
Yeah. Oh, I'm kind of nervous, but excited.
I mean...
Answer the question.
Whoa.
Whoa.
What was that?
Can I see that?
Yeah. June passes the letter to Kieran.
The answer to this question is yes.
Whoa, really?
Whoa.
I mean, ever since I goofed, I've kind of had like my lumen goof. I've had like the taste of sea salt in my mouth sometimes. Like
it's tasty, right?
It is kind of nice, actually, but
I'm feeling
it's usually
left
when
out.
I'm...
I don't think I've ever tasted that.
Oh, it's surprisingly like briny and salty.
Yeah.
But it's usually when I'm spaced out or when I'm like thinking a lot, randomly it'll just come to me and it kind of snaps me back and scares me a little bit.
Yeah.
Is this... So you're saying the answer is yes, Kieran?
Yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, for me, it's yes. We all have to answer individually, though.
Okay. Cece, what about you?
Individually.
Yeah, I feel the storm in the air. I don't know about that, but the taste of salt on the air or the smell of the sea. And do I ever? Yes, definitely. Like when I'm daydreaming a lot anymore, I think about that. Do you ever wonder if she's calling you to adventure or luring you to the rocks? Oh, you know, it's kind of a mixture of both, because I feel this like call to adventure. Like, you know, there's so much of the world out there that we haven't seen yet, and I really want to chart it. But also, I am learning a lot that the more that I am like, yeah, let's go, I'm a protagonist, the more damage I tend to do to myself in a season.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. Right? It's been happening.
Kieran was nodding the entire time.
Yeah. So I am being lured to the rocks often because I cannot resist that adventure. Now, June.
That's unsettling. Do you ever feel a storm in the air? Well, yes. Yes, I do. Like the taste of salt on the air or the smell of the sea. Oh, yeah. I mean, when I went to Last Breath, I could smell the sea for sure, but I don't think I've like tasted sea water, which is definitely cursed and bad. Do you ever wonder if she's calling you to adventure or luring you to the rocks?
It's a bit of a leading question.
June pauses and thinks about this. And I think there is a little like stubby feather from one of the birds that's stuck in her braid from the last shift she had in the aviary. And I think she subconsciously reaches back and like moves her braid over her shoulder and touches the feather. Yeah, I guess the answer is yes.
Thank you for your answers.
And at that point, the letter goes up in green smoke and is gone.
What? Oh, that is not fan mail at all.
I thought it was fan mail.
But I weirdly don't feel, I don't know, I don't feel terrible about answering those questions. Do you? No?
No, I'm just honest. I always keep it real, even with demon letters.
I mean, let's hope it wasn't that.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything demon-y on it.
Yeah, Kieran would know. Kieran?
I was about to say, Kieran, how did you feel about that letter?
It was, I mean, it felt pretty normal for a letter. Okay. I think
a letter, yeah.
You might be reacting to the contents of the letter, which I feel is reasonable. But I think overall it was pretty comparable to a lot of our fan mail that we have received in the past.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it threw me off that it wasn't signed, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also I feel like you know, if they're going to be around for us answering the question, then they don't really need to sign the letter, you know.
True. Mm-hmm. It's just been hitting. That one hit a little hard on my shortcomings, which I do not like.
You don't have any shortcomings, Cece.
Yeah, you don't have any.
You have opportunities.
Oh.
Wow, Kieran, that was good.
Dang. Come on. Bring it in. You know what that gets. That gets a Kieran hug.
And Cece, I can't breathe.
It's okay. I know. Yes, you can. It's just take a deep breath.
Cece, that's it. That's
you
it.
You smell really good.
That's it.
Just take a deep breath.
Mildly threatening.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertap, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertap.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists, and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Warda. Warda is an original fantasy actual play podcast created by Ali Grauer and Drew Merzieski. It's one part Game of Thrones, two parts Downton Abbey, served on the rocks with a twist of Agatha Christie. Discover magic, mystery, and more than a little socio-political commentary along the way. The city holds thousands of stories. What will yours be? And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way, hey, ho.